streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is February 6th, 2013. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gang, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have an awesome show for you tonight. We have Tygel Pinto. He's a young man that grew up in northern Arizona on the Navajo Reservation. He's going to share what struggles he went through in his life growing up in the reservation and the family problems that he had, and just he became a ward of the state and ended up in the juvenile detention system for several years. He's a successful young musician right now to this day, and we're going to hear his testimony and listen to his story about how he overcame those obstacles, and just to give us some uplifting encouragement about how others out there living that life can do the same thing. So before we bring him on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, I want to just thank everybody for tuning in every Wednesday night, and I want to just thank everyone who support the movement around the world. And tonight we got a great, great show. And without further ado, I'll pass the mic over to our guest tonight, and he can formally introduce himself to the world.
Hello. My name is Tygel Pinto. I'm from Crystal, New Mexico. I'm born for the Bitterwater clans, and also born for the Tangle clans. I'm 26 years old, and I play the Navajo flute with an urban twist.
All right. Thank you for coming to the show tonight. And so it was actually not Arizona, but New Mexico, but up in the northern part. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about how you grew up and what life was like growing up on the reservation that you came from.
Well, it was I grew up in a rural area, and our closest neighbor was about a mile away to get to any type of, like, grocery store or even our classrooms, our school. It was about a good maybe 10 miles away. We hauled our own water. We chopped our own wood. But I think the only luxury we really had was electricity. So growing up there, it was really interesting, though. I mean, I grew up where it was quiet. Family was very close-knitted. You know, but there was a lot of problems, though, you know. I mean, my mother worked over at Fort Defiance Hospital, and that was even further away from where we went to school. That was probably an extra maybe 10, 15 miles away. So she would come home. She would work late night. She would come home. She'll go to sleep. We'll come home from school. The only person that was really there to watch over us was my grandmother. So, you know, and we didn't always play along. We didn't always get along as growing up, so there was a lot of squabbling going on around the house.
And how many kids were in your family?
There was my uncle. He grew up with us, my uncle, my auntie. And then there was my older brother, my little brother, and my two little sisters.
And where was your father as you were growing up?
Well, you know, growing up, I actually did not get to meet my father until, like, actually comprehend meeting my father, so to actually say, was until, I think, till I reached either the third grade, I think. But he ended up moving away. He was with the military for a while, and he joined the army, and that kind of, like, put a stake between him and my mother. So they went their own ways, and for a while, my older brother and I, we stayed with my grandmother on my dad's side of the family. We stayed with them for, I think, until I started Head Start. And then we moved out to Phoenix. We lived in Phoenix for a while. I stayed there from Head Start until second grade. And then we moved back to the reservation, and I started going to the boarding schools out in Crystal from third grade all the way to eighth grade. And then from there, everything kind of went a little bit crazy. I started going to high school in Navajo Pine. I stayed there for a while, but, you know, things got really bad on the reservation. You know, family squabbles. My mom and my grandmother didn't get along. My mother was part of a religion that my grandmother, being a traditional, you know, Navajo woman as she is, couldn't really comprehend. She couldn't really get behind it fully, and that also drove, you know, the stake further between the family. So there was always fighting going on. And during that time, my uncle denounced my mother's religion. My auntie followed, and my mom picked all of us up during high school. I think it was my third year in high school. And took me, my older brother, my little brother, my two little sisters off the reservation to Page, Arizona. I mean, already I was, you know, going a little bit crazy with arguing and getting in trouble and fighting in school. And it just seemed to be more than my family could handle. Plus, my mom was working late nights that she couldn't really keep an eye on me. And I snuck out of the house, did my own thing. It was, you know, something that I grew up doing just to not really get a rise, but to escape. I was really looking for escape. And finally it got so bad that I ended up getting picked up by halfway houses. And they're telling me that I had to stay with halfway houses because it was a better way for me to be looked after. And it turned out to be a little bit more than, it was definitely not what I expected. It taught me a lot of good things and taught me a lot of bad things. For one, it taught me how to get away with things a lot easier. It taught me how to manipulate. It taught me how to just, you know, it taught me all the things that I was doing, except to a greater degree. And it wasn't until after a while that I went in and out of a juvenile detention facility and got in more fights that I realized that, you know, there was good to be found in these places if you just look and you listen. And finally, they put me out to a halfway house out here in Tucson, Arizona. And when I turned 21, they let me loose. They gave me they had me sign papers. They gave me my bags and they said, good luck. We don't want to see you here ever again. So ever since then, it was just basically me trying to figure out what my next move was, where I was going, how I was going to, you know, fend for myself. I mean, I grew up already, you know. During the halfway houses, I was going to school in Prescott for a while. And I was working in the cafeteria to pay for my lunches. I was working at Burger King to pay for my tuition and, you know, keep myself, you know, afloat. And buy the necessities I needed, like hygiene and food, as well as clothing. So, you know, it wasn't anything new to me to just be given something and say, given a direction to point, start walking, and hopefully I either, you know, float or sink. Thank goodness I learned how to float.
Right, exactly. Now, let me back up just a little bit. What happened and who took you and made you a ward of the state and put you in the juvenile detention center?
Well, family life was very abusive. There was a lot of sexual abuse that was going on in the house. And, you know, it just wasn't a good place to be at. So, and, you know, being out on the reservation, being in a secluded area, that's very rampant from what I understand, you know, now looking back on it and listening to other people's stories that, you know, I come across. It's something that happens often out there on the reservation. And as I well know, it's something that happens a lot around, you know, around the United States, even around the world.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, it's not a good thing. It's not a, you know, it's really something that is better off to be brought to light, and hopefully it won't ever happen to anybody again.
Right. Now, did you, there's some reservations that are just plagued with gangs and alcohol and drugs. Was that readily available to you, and did you get involved in any of that as a teenager?
Well, you see, I got involved with cigarettes when I was in high school, but as far as drugs and alcohol, I didn't really get heavily into that stuff until I was actually in halfway houses, the same places where they wanted me to stay away from it, and they really stressed on it. It seemed in the halfway houses that I was at, it was actually the staff that were providing it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was like there were certain people you went to. You went to them, you showed them money, you told them what you wanted the night before. The next night they showed up with like a fifth of King Cobra. That was the first thing I drank. And I mean, that was a headache and a half, literally.
Wow. I'm going to turn the mic over to Boyd at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm listening real good. And like you said, the same place they're sending you to get out of trouble, you got the staff there that's waiting for you to say, hey, I need this, I need that. So it really wasn't no educational place to get educated to do something right. They were study educating you to do something wrong, which you was trying to get away from wrong. But they kept you stuck at wrong for a long time. Is that correct?
That is totally correct.
You know, and what made you want to just change your mind in your direction and wanted to get involved with the flute? Because, you know, I let the world know, you know, my man is a great, great flute player, and his missus is a great flute player, you know. So how did you start escaping with the great music that you do?
Well, I've always loved to play. The first time I ever started playing was when I was little in music class. And it was something that just was a part of me. I would hum when I was a little kid. I was always a very happy person when I was little. I would always hum. I would play my flutes. I didn't really start getting into music as much as I did until I came to Tucson. I was 21 years old, free for the first time out of any halfway house or any kind of correctional institution, and I really didn't know what I was doing. I was working day to day. I was trying my hardest to keep my, you know, finances organized. I was living in a crappy apartment. I didn't have no motor transportation except a bicycle. And I still didn't have, you know, that extra piece of me, that musical piece of me. Because growing up, there's certain things that they allowed you in the halfway houses or juvenile detention facilities. And a wooden flute just wasn't one of them. And that was like
right.
A big part of me. Yeah, that was a big part of me. And that was something, like music was a big part of me. So the only thing I had to run on while I was, you know, in the halfway houses or in the juvenile detention facilities were just the vague reminiscence of, you know, memories of songs that I heard growing up or tunes that I used to listen to growing up. Once I turned 21, I met a friend of mine, and he gave me my first flute here in Tucson, a very, very dear friend of mine. And his name is Christopher. And he gave me my first flute. And that just sparked the fire. Once I started playing, I remembered a lot of the things I used to do. I remember I dropped who I was at that moment growing up, that manipulative, that backstabbing, that person who just wanted to fend for myself. And I realized that music did more than just help me get through things that I didn't understand. Or it opened my eyes to saying, well, I'm gonna go over and work today, go home, eat, sleep, play video games, maybe hang out, get a beer, and go back to work the next day. There was something more to it. It was this passion, this drive, and just grew and grew and grew the more I played.
My man. And with that being said and done, with you going through your trials and tribulations to reach where you at now in life, what would you tell these youngsters of today about the struggles that they also go through, the same adversities you went through? What would you tell these young kids now?
What I would say is, I would say keep your focus. I know a lot of people would tell you, go to school, get a good education, and get a good job. Start a family and live your life. That's not what I will say. What I will say is always look around you. Always ask questions. Don't be happy with just what is. If there's something that you want, obtain it. Figure out a way to get it. Because there's nothing outside your reach if you truly want it. Things that are worth having are not easy to obtain. Beauty, huh?
I said yes.
Beauty and pain live side by side. If what you want is to be beautiful, there's going to be a lot of pain in that beauty, but you'll obtain it. Nothing is out of your reach. A lot of people want great things. A lot of people want to be the best at what they do. They want recognition beyond belief. They want riches. But not a lot of people that want that put the effort into making it happen. Make that effort. And that's what I would tell them. That's what I have to say to them.
My man. And that right there, I second that emotion. Because
that's
you got a lot of people, like I call it, you got a lot of people just want you to hand them down something. You know what I mean? I call that hand-me-down money. You know, where you ain't got to work for nothing. You know, when my great-grandmama gone, I got $1 million waiting on me, so I'm going to chill, you know? So, you know, that right there, it takes your adversity off of what you want to do and what you truly can accomplish and obtain in life, because you're waiting on some hand-me-down money, you know? And I agree with what you said. Anything worth having is worth working hard for and worth obtaining, because nothing is out of your reach in the game, man, because this is America, you know what I'm saying? You can do any and be anything you choose to be. So I'm with you 1,000% on that, man. And without further ado, I would like for you to kindly introduce your beautiful queen to the mic.
All right. This is Christina Santiago.
Hello.
Hey,
welcome.
How you doing, young lady? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we would just like for you to tell the viewers, how did you get into the great flute playing, and how did you meet such a great flute player?
Well, I'd never played or even really been exposed to it until I met Tigel. And we met last year, about a year ago, and we started dating in April. And he was always playing it, and I just saw him interacting with it a lot. And then one day he just handed it to me and said, "Here, you want to try this?" I
wow.
said, "Okay." So,
okay.
So I did, and, you know, it was just something that I kind of, like, played around with and practiced on when he wasn't around and, you know, played with when he was here, too, and I guess from what he says, I was one of the first people whoever actually took it up instead of just talking about it, actually went ahead and played. So I did that, and I started developing a little bit, like, of my own relationship with it and my own attachment towards it, and just, you know, realizing it as a part of myself and also as, like, a part of him, something that we shared together. Oh, and I took it with me when I went to study abroad in Italy this last fall, and I was going to be gone for about 3 months. So before I left, he gave me one of his flutes to take with me, which was, you know, a big deal, because that was a really important thing to him, and he was willing to let me take that and just have it as like a part of him while I was over there, which meant a lot to me.
Wow, that's great. That is so great, you know. And now that you are into the flute, what would be your advice to some of these youngsters out here that is not looking at life the way it should be looked at and just thinking it's all about the street world? I mean, what would you tell them to educate them?
Well, the thing is, like, Tidal and I grew up very differently, and he grew up and knows about, like, the street world, and I never really had that sort of exposure. Like, I grew up and went to school and went to church with my mom on Sundays, and then came to college, and I was kind of straight and narrow growing up, but I definitely would say that, you know, that doesn't have to, if people who grew up like that or had that kind of experience, it doesn't have to define you, and it doesn't mean that, you know, nobody loves you or anything like that. Like, I've met Tygel, and I'm very much in love with him, and I think he's the greatest thing ever. And, you know, I know that just us being together has changed each other's lives for the better. And so just keep looking and hoping, and things will get better, and find people and make connections, and life comes around.
Amen. That's what's happening.
Right.
So,
that's right.
So with that being said, what we're going to do right now is we're going to break to one of them great songs of my man Nigel, and we're going to have my missus introduce that song, and we'll be right back with both our great guests tonight. So I'll pass the mic to my missus to introduce the first great song.
Okay, this is track 4 of Tygel's CD, and we'll let him tell you a little bit later where you can get the CD, but this is Tygel playing his narrow flute.
Gentlemen, welcome right back to the Streets and Love You Back radio show. Hottest track by my homeboy T in the house. And we're going to turn the mic back over to the missus, and we're going to keep this rolling, and we're going to have some more songs coming from my main man tonight.
All right. Hi, Joe. Playing that flute, did you just, you said that you were in the band when you were little, or how did you actually learn how to play that flute?
It was I didn't have anybody to teach me. It wasn't something that somebody sat down and said, okay, this thing, this, if you cover this, this does this. If you blow into this hole, this does this. It wasn't like that. It was basically tossed on my lap, and I had to figure it out. I personally believe that everybody has the ability to play music. There is no right way, there's no wrong way. People do have their ideas of what makes great pieces, what makes proper music, quote unquote, what makes a masterpiece and what is just noise. Me, however, I believe growing up playing my flute the way I did is this. It's all noise. If you're comfortable with making noise and you're comfortable with sounding bad, you can make any type of sound you want. The whole palette of just that audio, you know, sensation is open to you. You'll find something that sounds a little off or different. Doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean it's horrid, or it just means it just doesn't fit in that one spot at that particular moment. However, it's a new sound, and that's how I started. That's how I learned how to play.
Wow, it's amazing that you're self-taught, because it's just awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's a great sound. You know what I mean? Like I said, I want to let the viewers know also that my man and his missus played a piece for me, and I came home and told my wife about that, you know, that I met this young flute player, you know, and it was amazing. And I definitely told him he had to be a guest on the show and bring this to the world, around the world, you know what I'm saying? And he might be in Tucson, but tonight you're listening to him all around the world. You know, he can't be in China, but they can hear him in China. You feel me?
That's
when they
right.
Walk home. So that's the greatest thing about this Christian Love Your Back radio show. We worldwide. We not local. So we loving our guest tonight. And I just want to say, when you was going through your adversities, and when you got to be about 22 years old, because you stepped out on the scene at 21. So at 22, where was your mentality at by then, after you had been home about a year?
Well, you see, because of, you know, growing up and being in a household where there was not a lot of people watching over me, and everybody did their own thing, and, you know, I was exposed to unfavorable situations, and not a lot of people knew what I was going through. Not a lot of people knew, you know, what was happening. And growing up, it was just all chaotic in my head. I pondered over why things were the way they were. Why I really don't understand a lot about what goes on around me as far as, you know, the system of things goes. And I'm not sure if I ever will. Turning 21, like coming out of, you know, growing up around people who were in the halfway houses for as violent offenders and as, you know, drug users and stuff like that. And, you know, they're just being in that situation and always constantly having to, you know, keep my eyes open and watch where everybody was, so that way I wasn't caught sleeping, basically. Going from that to coming out and about onto, you know, the scene and having that mentality, always watching what's going on around me and wondering if something was going to happen to me, because that's how I grew up.
So when you came home, the mentality was still there until you had to break that a little bit. So you still came home with that mentality. You had to watch everything moving, everything around you, because you had been groomed into that as a lifetime thing, you know. So now at 26 years old, I mean, you know, I see you doing great music and great things in your life. So how is it your mentality from when you come home to now at 26 years old? How far has your mentality came from that other mentality?
I've got my great realization at 23. I started realizing a lot of things, and I realized that this whole world runs on one great thing, and that's respect. And if you have respect for the people around you, they have respect for you. you carry yourself in a certain way, and people will see that and they'll understand that. My mentality now is this, is you exude the love that you want. You give that love, and that love will come back to you. Treat, you know, they say, you know, live by the golden rule, treat, do to others as you want done to yourself. I mean, that's really true. I've realized that people out there are just as confused as I am. There's nobody, everybody's got their own game going on. And not everybody does it in the same way, not everybody's successful. And I have to admit that I was blessed enough to meet the right people that furthered my, you know, my mentality. So now I see what I want and I go and I get it. I know. Yeah, so that's how my mentality is now, but I always will always stop to say hello to somebody. I mean, I will always give the time of day to somebody because I feel that that few couple of minutes that I take to stop and say, hi, how are you doing? Who are you? What is your day like? Maybe that was something that person needed in that day. Either way, you know, it benefits the both of us because I know another person and that person knows me now.
Right, you know what I mean? And it's a great thing that you feel that way, man, because the things that you're doing with your music, I mean, you know, like you said, you can say hi to somebody or, you know, you got a nice hat on, you know what I mean? That might make that individual's day, and they needed to hear that day because you never know what their life is going through, you know, because you look good on the outside don't mean your mind, body, heart, and soul is great on the inside, you know? So
yeah.
I'm definitely feeling that right there, you know? And when you mentioned Queen, your beautiful queen that you got, I mean, how did she change your life in any kind of way, and what effect does she have on your life now?
From Christina, I have learned more about family. I've learned how important family is. And most of all, I learned how to let my guard down more, how to trust people a little bit more than I was. You know, meeting people, I would say hello, but it was always at a distance. It was kind of, the great way it was ever you know, expressed to me or explained to me was by one of my mentors. And he says that everybody has in them already prepared a conversation. And these conversations that are prepared in their mind that they use for everybody, he called them a canned conversation. And that's what I was basically doing. I already had something set up in my head, what I was going to say to so-and-so, or if somebody says hello to me, I was just going to say this, this, and this, and that was it. Speaking to Christina now, I've learned to be a little bit more open, give people the time of day, and just, I've learned more compassion than I've had before, and a lot more patience.
I can relate to that, brother. You feel me? For real. Yeah. Now, what you just said, right? Now, I can relate to that to the point is that's how I feel when it comes to my queen. You know what I mean? You know, being with my missus, I've learned how to be a dissipation of compassion sometimes, you know? And I understand that cold-hearted, man, on what you're saying on that, because coming from the streets is totally different than, you know, I'm up on the hill, you know what I mean? And that's two different elements of life, you know, that you have to sit down and adjust to. It's just like adjusting a wrench, you know what I mean, to screw a bolt on a car or something, you know? It's an adjustment in life. So that's real great, man, that someone can step in your life and help you adjust certain things that need to be adjusted, you know? Don't mean you've been it all the way, but you adjusted to the point where, you know, you got great respect for the individual that you're with. So, you know, I got highly and most respect for my wife. So, yeah, it's always great, man, because she changed my life in marvelous ways, you know, that nobody ever touched me in them ways of want to even be, you know, talkative with somebody or, you know, want to, you know, sit and mingle with certain people. So, yeah, I can truly relate to that, brother, you know, and I give you big hats up on that, man, and to your queen as well, you know, good look on that.
Thank you, and I will. I'll treat her. I treat her like, just like that. I treat her like my queen.
No doubt.
Right.
No doubt. I mean, because just by listening to both of y'all's conversation tonight, you know, it's amazing, man, how darkness and light meet up and shine. You know what I mean? Because it takes light to shine through darkness, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes an individual that God brings in your life, you know, because everybody can't shine through darkness. You feel what I'm saying?
True. Yeah, yeah.
So when God brings that light in, he shines that all the way. So that's what happened with you and your missus, and that's what happened with me and my missus as well. So, yeah, this is a great night because we really vibe in the night, you know what I'm saying, just by what you said. And that's great, man, you know what I mean? And as long as you keep that up front, man, and you know that God has blessed you with someone great, man, you know, you're supposed to always uphold that, man, until the righteous point of life, you know, and never do nothing unrighteous to that, you know what I'm saying? And that's why God keeps blessing you more and more, because we don't always get that second chance in life, bro, you know?
You know, and that's the thing too, is to for all the listeners and for the young people and the old people, that you can change, you can make a change in your life, and no matter how hard you think you are, no matter how you know, you come from the baddest streets in the city or the worst ghettos, you know, in the country, if you want to make a change, you can make a change. And, you know, just try to get with different people, positive people, you know. But if you want to make a positive change and get away from the bad things that you're around, or, you know, if you're struggling and you don't know what to do, you know, just go and talk to somebody. Find somebody that can be your mentor or somebody that can give you some good advice. And, you know, like Robbie and Tigel both said, you know, you can make those positive changes, and there's positive people in the world that can help you do that. And, you know, they're here testifying tonight, sharing their testimony, telling you, you know, they both were able to change their lives. And so, you know, we're here to tell you that it can be done. And, Tigel, I just wanted to ask you, since you've grown up a little bit and you're looking back on your life, have you reconnected with your mother and your grandmother and your siblings at all?
Yeah, my mother, I reconnected with her. She's still in her religion. She's still very, very oriented in her religion. So her and I, it's kind of difficult for me to have a, you know, one-to-one conversation with her. And it's actually getting somewhere. However, mm-hmm. I do love her. She does have great advice when I do need her, though. And
mm-hmm.
Right now, she's going through some medical difficulties. She's got lupus, so you know that's something that you know I'm dealing.
Okay.
She's dealing with, and I'm trying to have an understanding about more and more. You know, and it's a little difficult seeing somebody that I've seen, you know, so strong and
right.
You know,
lupus is a very hard disease and very different. It can wear you down and take you down in a lot of different areas.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing this happening. And it's difficult, but you know, I do what I can. My grandmother, however, I do go back up to the reservation to go and see her. And I stay weeks for sometimes to help her out around the house. Most of all, you know, I spend time with her. You know, growing up, her and I, we used to yell at each other. We, like, her and I would have shouting battles. It got that bad, like.
Mm-hmm.
But now her and I, we just get along so well. it's amazing.
I think, you know, and when you were younger too, you know, I'm not sure how young you were when you were abused, but there's when you're abused, you have this, I guess, a sense of lack of control or lack of, I mean, you have a lot of anger in you. There's a lot of different things that are going on in your mind and in your body at that time. And I think that we might take it out on those around us as well. So that could have been, you know, part of the problem. Maybe you didn't want grandma telling you what to do, and people were making you or telling you what to do on the other hand. And it's a big conflict.
Yeah, it is. That's what music's there for.
My mm-hmm. man, that's what's happening, you know. And, mm-hmm. and on that note right there, we're going to go to my man's another song, and I'm going to have my missus introduce that, and we're going to keep this party started, you know.
All right, we're going to go to another song on the DVD, and it's track 10.
ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the Streets from Every Back Radio Show, worldwide with the hottest tracks and the hottest guests worldwide, you know. We're going to pass it back to the Memphis, and we're going to keep it floating.
Well, I just want to say, wow, Ty Joe, that just is, like, so relaxing and so beautiful. How does that make you feel while you're playing? Does that give you the inner peace, or how does that make you feel?
When I play, it's just me and my music. Right now I have about 3 flutes, not including the one I've given to Christina. And I learn their personality, because every flute has a different personality. I know it's crazy to say, but I'm pretty sure, you know, people understand me in some
sure.
way. I go a step further with these personalities, because I like to identify with the objects and things around me that I give them name. So when I play my music, it's me expressing myself through this personality and learning and dancing with it. When I play and I play for an audience or I play for another person, I'm speaking to that person. And all that is there is just the sound that comes with it. To me, the instrument's the soul. What is produced through it is its reincarnation.
Wow. Now, you named one of your flutes Rakim. Is that the one that you gave to Christina?
Yes, Requiem.
Requiem. Okay. What does that mean? Is that just a name that you picked, or does it mean something?
The translation of it, the literal translation of it, from what I understand, is a mask for the dead. I know it sounds morbid. However, let me explain this. This flute that I had, I got through an extensive hard work that I had to do. I was basically busking on the streets in order to make the amount of money to pay for this flute. And ever since I had it, it's just been with me. I take it everywhere I go. I play it whenever time is convenient. And there, you know, in the time that I had it, I started getting gifts given to me by different friends. And these gifts that were given to me, I started to use these to adorn my flute. So every time I played this flute, if nobody was around, it was just me and my flute. I was playing for more than just me. I was playing in the memory of everybody who was hanging on that flute, basically. Every item that was on that flute was a representation of the person that wasn't there with me. Doesn't mean that they were dead or that they've gone on to the next world. It just meant that they were not there with me at that time. So I was playing for them and myself.
My man, that's a good look, my man, you know. And like I say, the CD is the bomb, you feel me? So I want I want you to tell the people where they can log on and buy that CD, man.
Well, right now I'm having a little bit of a difficulty getting up a website. I'm still in the process of that. However, I am doing ship outs. All you have to do is get a hold of me at Tygel Pinto, that's one whole word, TYGELPINTO, @gmail.com. So give me a line, give me your address, tell me that you would like a CD. And everything else from there will be figured out. You can also find me on Facebook. You can also find me on Facebook at Tygel Pinto, at Facebook. That's my fan page. It has a listings of all the events that I've played. So, you know, it also has recordings of my performances.
Okay, tell us about this last show that you did.
Oh, the last show was out in Silver City, New Mexico. That was a lot of fun. Getting out there was an adventure in itself. I left from Tucson. I left from Tucson, and I took a Greyhound bus all the way to see, what was the place? Something, Lordsburg?
Lordsburg?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to Lordsburg, only to find out that I was 30 minutes behind, and the other bus left 30 minutes ago. So I had to,
oh.
I was supposed to be in Deming at 9:30 in the morning. Instead, there was this extensive layover, and I was not able to get there until, like, around, I think it was 2:30. So, you know, while I was waiting in Lordsburg, I was hanging out at the McDonald's that was just, like, right there. So there was this one woman, who was mopping the floors when I came in. And, you know, I wasn't going to wait at the bus station if I was going to wait so long. I wanted to be comfortable. So I had my laptop with me. I walk in, and I see this woman. And I look at her, I was like, are you the manager? And she looks at me, she goes, no, I'm Cinderella, what's up? So I'm looking at the lady, like she's joking with me, obviously. And I'm looking at her, like, okay. I was wondering if I could, you know, hang out here and just, you know, go on my laptop and wait for the bus to come. And she goes, yeah, sure, go sit in the corner. So I'm sitting in this corner, and this woman was the greatest to me. She brought me something to drink. She brought me something to eat. You know, I had no money on me. So it was really kind of her. So before I left, I wrote down on a piece of paper, thank you for all your hospitality, and I signed it to Cinderella. And I left her with one of my CDs. I gave it to her, and I ran, and I caught the bus. I got the bus, and it took me, the bus driver wasn't even going to let me on. I gave him my pass, and he says, this is for the morning. And I'm like, yeah, I realize that it's for the morning. However, you know, the bus driver was late by 30 minutes, and they told me to take this bus. So all of you guys who are traveling Greyhound or decide to travel Greyhound, just know that you have to be there on time, and, you know, just be prepared to get static. If you're not prepared, then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick them, and let them know that, you know, you're not going anywhere because you paid for your ticket, and usually you'll get somewhere. I'm just, you know, saying. However, so he finally lets me on after a while. Thank goodness he lets me on. I get to Deming, only to find, you know, that the person who was supposed to pick me up was not there.
Wow.
And my phone was, you know, not really working. So I ended up hitchhiking. I did the highway salute out of Deming, halfway to Silver City to Hurley, and my auntie came to pick me up. I got out to Silver City. I stayed with my auntie for the first night. The second night, I was given my own hotel room, and I went to go play at the powwow, and the powwow was great. The first day, I played for a bunch of, I think they were, like, elementary kids. That came out to, you know, for a field trip. Yeah, it was just amazing. Some of these little kids got up and they started dancing, just jumping around, you know,
Explain to Rob what a powwow is, because I'm not sure that he knows what it is.
A powwow is where different nations, Native American nations, get together and they showcase their dance. They do certain ceremonies. It's more of a gathering of different nations. A lot of the times, powwows have I guess the best way I could say it is dance-offs. Competitions, there you go.
Yeah, it's a lot of music and dance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's how that go down.
Yeah, so it's really nice. It's multicultural. You see a lot of different tribes coming out and showcasing their dances. You'll have there was many flute players that came out to play. There was a storyteller. There was also a lot of singers and a lot of drummers and a lot of dancers. If you've never seen a hoop dance before, I suggest you go and see one. It's just amazing. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, where is that at? In Mexico?
Yeah, that was in Silver City, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah, it was called the Red Paint Powwow.
Now, when you say New Mexico, is that the New Mexico that's going past
the state,
going towards Dallas, Texas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd be like a sure cut.
Between Arizona and Texas.
Right, yeah. So when I used to travel, when I used to travel on the Greyhound, I used to travel cross country on the Greyhound all the time. I used to just jump on in and roll out to California. Yeah, and that's the route the bus used to take back then, you know what I mean, going through Dallas and going through El Paso and, you know what I mean, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and all down up and through that to, you know what I mean, yeah. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure I was on the same path with that one.
Wow. So how were you able to, like, you know, stand the long trips on the Greyhound bus? I mean, I get antsy just going from here to Phoenix.
Well,
yeah,
I
would too.
When I was younger, man, you know, when I was much younger, I was always a guy that was, you know, coming from the life I came from, you know, and then a lot of my homeboys just wanted to get cars and ride around the neighborhood type thing. Okay, everybody know you got a brand new car. You ain't got to bend the corner 25 times, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They never really wanted to go nowhere in life, man. So, you know, I would just jump on the bus and say, I'm out. You know what I mean? I would go to California, and then I ended up getting me a place in California, San Diego, for a while, you know, and then I had friends in Los Angeles, so I would leave on Friday, and then I would get there, like, going into Sunday after midnight, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I would just love to do that when I was younger, you know?
And you don't like to really drive either, so you like just sitting back and looking and watching everything.
Right, mm-hmm. You know, now that I'm older, You know, 50 years old this year, I don't even like really driving no more because I did it all when I was younger, man. I mean, we used to hit the highway and we used to jump in the cars and, I mean, just go different places. And then I would like, I don't even feel like that. I would just jump on the Greyhound and go to California, you know what I mean, and kick it with my homeboys or just go to my place. I mean, so, you know, I was a go-getter, man, when I was much younger. But now I'm just laid back. Like my missus said, I do not like driving. I like you to drive me now, you know what I'm saying? I do not like really driving. I mean, I don't even like driving from where we at to Phoenix, you feel me? I'd be like, you know what I mean? But in the neighborhood, I ain't got no problem going to the post office and coming straight home, you feel me? Or then again, when I don't feel like driving, you know, and my missus is gone or something, I'll walk up there and walk back. You know, I mean, I have no problem with walking. I wasn't born with no car. You know, my mom
used
to always say that.
One of my greatest influences as far as, you know, just my life is Bob Marley. I have to admit, Bob Marley is one of my greatest influences. So
ain't no mystery. Yeah. It's a straight mellow with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I am totally happy walking. Like you said, you know, my only carriage. I mean, I'm totally happy walking. However, I have to admit, I love driving. I really do love driving.
And see, when you get older, you're going to feel different on that driving tip because I should love driving too, boy. Give me the keys. Let me drive everybody. You know what I mean?
No, I'd rather drive any day than take a Greyhound. Or walk.
Right? No, I'm there with you. I understand. All the way.
And I'll drive Rob anywhere because I ain't walking and I ain't taking the bus.
she's the opposite for me and you, T. You know what I mean? I don't mind walking and I don't mind jumping on the freight and rolling out, you know what I mean, and chilling, you know, with my headphones on and ain't even talking to nobody. You know, I might speak to you. You feel me? I might, but it ain't like I have to. Cause
that's true.
I used to try to avoid people, which I still do nowadays, you know, but I didn't say that. But, you know, you know what I mean? I'm just at my age now, I just like to chill, man, enjoy my grandkids, enjoy my missus, and, I mean, just do what we do with the movement, educating the kids, and, I mean, I just like enjoying life, chilling, man, and no driving. I don't like driving really no more. But I will drive through the neighborhood and back.
Nice.
So, hi, Jill and Christina. Tell us what your goals and plans are for the next 5 years and I know Christina is still in school, and just let us know what you're planning.
Well, I graduate in May, and I haven't decided what I'm doing as far as work goes yet, but right now
then you go to the U of A, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm graduating with a degree in creative writing.
Nice.
So I haven't decided what I'm going to do as far as career goes, so we're basically just doing one day at a time here and just trying to get ourselves set so that once I graduate, we can land on our feet somehow. And,
yeah, well, that's a great accomplishment, graduating college, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, congratulations. That's a great thing. You know, everybody don't go to college, but the ones who do go to college, you know, you have to give them a hats off and a hands up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We actually just got engaged.
Oh,
congratulations.
So that was last week.
Yeah,
all right. Exciting.
As far as I understand it, it's only 98.5%. I'll let her explain that.
So okay, better explain it.
When Michael proposed to me, he didn't actually get on one knee. And I told him that I'm a traditional girl and he should get on one knee. So I said I'd marry him, but I'm still waiting for him to get on one knee. So in the meantime, he is 98.5% my fiancé.
Oh,
Tyjo, you better get down on that knee, brother.
I still do not understand this concept. I mean, why one knee? What's like? I mean, like, come on now.
It's just tradition. I think it's just tradition for some people, and I think maybe it shows a little respect that you can get down on one knee and look up to your bride-to-be that you love with all your heart and ask for her hand and put the ring on her finger.
Yeah.
Down on your knee, you're right level with her hand to put that ring on.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and you know, hey, you know what? You might well do that on nationwide radio tonight. You might well do that on nationwide radio tonight, man. For this can be a real classic show tonight. You know what I mean? That my man finally, the knight in shining armor, finally got on one knee and looked up to his queen and say, "I'm here." The other point go with the 89 point now. Now it's the whole 100. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you. So
yeah, man, I'm loving it.
That's a lot of pressure.
Hey, but the goodest thing about it, T, you got the greatest thing over there with you. You feel me? The greatest thing ever happened to you is right there. You know what I'm saying? And that's the greatest thing of it all, man. You know, and life is good. You know, and when you feel it in your bones, heart, and soul like you already do, can't do nothing but get on that one knee and look up and say, "I'm doing this on the Streets of Love You Back radio show tonight." And I'm saying worldwide to the people that I'm asking my queen, will she marry me all the way tonight on the radio show? And we want her to say 100% yes to the 8.9. You feel me? We want to close that gap tonight on the show.
Shoot. Well, you know what? Let's do it. Let's get it done.
Okay,
right,
let's do it. Hey, and for no other reason, Tyjo. Okay, here we go.
I've been telling her that I was going to wait for the right opportune time, and I think this is.
Here it is.
Make it happen.
All right, so Christina Santiago.
Yes.
In front of your iPhone, which is connected to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio and all its viewers, all its listeners, I am getting on one knee.
My man.
I, like I told you before, I do not answer to nobody else besides the creator. and now you.
Amen.
Marry me.
Yes.
I will.
Wow.
That's right.
Yes, y'all. Yes,
100% or no, like, 0.5?
Now we're gonna play. We're gonna play a hot song. We're gonna play a hot song for y'all too tonight. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we got T and his queen, you know what I mean, Christine, on the line tonight. And we're gonna play a hot, hot song from my little homeboy out of Detroit, Michigan. And the hot song tonight is called Brown Sugar. And we're gonna dedicate that song to the two lovers tonight. Hold tight, we'll be right back.
Here you go.
Be right back, ladies.
Have a dream, show some love, and take a ride down memory lane. Just me and her, listening to music that I love. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had money, cell phone, or a pager. Just me and my girl listening to hip-hop. Mama used to say it reminded her of bebop. But dancing to Michael, see the music is a cycle. Remembering good times, Soul Train is really a good thing. I'm feeling too good, nah, I might just need a drink. Might just reminisce, I know that she's feeling this. She listening to Mary J. Baby girl looking good and she came my way. Let's play some OJs. Let's unwind, slow it down, two-step. Nah, clap with me one time. She feeling good too, like it's summertime. Girl, I get around in my hometown. You can come too. I love you like soul food for the love that we had. I put on some pendergrass and light up a candle. She feeling that heat wave. We danced the night away. Shout out to the DJ for playing the right one. He put on another song. It sound like Marvin Gaye or maybe some Isleys. No matter where we be, she be right beside me. We go good together like sugar, honey, and tea. Loving memory lane. I play her another song. Now she feeling candy rain in the soul for real. Telling her how I feel. Now she wanna take a trip with me around the world. Feeling like I'm in love. And I hope that she feel what I feel. So I know that it's real. So I know that it's real. Memory lane, thinking of summer days, telling me how she feel. Listen to Lauryn Hill, beautiful how she sings. I put on some Mal Green, getting her in the mood, not rushing into a thing. I'm feeling like Rick James, we high up Mary Jane. She the girl in my dreams, she my earth, wind and fire. Whenever we be together, no arguing with each other. Music keep us together, getting us through the weather. Feeling the summer breeze, call you my summer girl. Like Jodeci, I'm a fiend, travel around the world. Ribbon up in the sky, writing it on the wall. I put on some MJ, she my pretty young thing. We remember the time, so we had to escape down memory lane. All alone, just me and my girl with a song. That's the life that I love, come on.
Yeah.
and we kicking it live right now with my man T and his missus. You feel me? And T, how you feeling tonight, man?
I'm feeling wonderful.
My man. Hey, we gonna keep it rolling tonight, my man. We got one more track for you tonight, and this track that I'm gonna give you tonight, this gonna be the track because you come a long way in life, and this gonna be that track that all homeboys coming from where we come from deserve to hear tonight. And we're gonna hit you with that Never Give Up track because you never gave up and you're where you at today, baby. So we're gonna hit you with that Never Give Up track from my homeboy out of California, OG Suicide.
Little homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots, man.
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know.
Practice makes perfect.
I love you. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's all right.
Never give up.
right back here to the hottest show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and we kicking it live tonight with a hot, hot track, man, and two hot guests tonight, and the world just heard that my man T just bowed down like the king that he is, and he bowed down to his queen, and everybody know that play chess, that the queen and the king on the chessboard is the powerfulest thing on the board. And the king's job is to protect his queen on the board. So that's a good look, my man. Bow down to the things that he believe in. And he told the world right here on the show tonight, hey, he got his queen. He found his passion. And, hey, they finna do what they do best, and that's do great things and make a difference out here in life. And them two songs was dedicated to them, Brown Sugar and Never Give Up, because you see where my man at now, 26 years old. Had a lot of obstacles in life, like we all do coming from the street world, but he overcame a lot of things, and by meeting his queen, he studied overcoming other things in life. So we want to give both of them a big up and a big hand tonight. You feel me? So I pass everything over to the missus.
Definitely. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, both of you, and sharing your stories and your testimonies and your special engagement with us and the world. You guys are, you know, adorable and, you know, very smart two people, and you have a lot going for you. We wish you all the success in the world, and we expect a wedding invitation.
Thank you. We'll be sure to make sure that happens when it happens.
Without a doubt. You know, we got to come represent. We got to come up and do for two good people, you know what I mean? So that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much for having us. It's very, such an honor. Thank you.
Yes,
you're welcome.
Man.
You know, we look for great things from you guys. You guys are on the right path, and you guys, like I said, you're both very, very smart, and you have a lot of good things coming your way. You really do. Believe that.
Any last words, Ms. Christine?
Well, I just have to say, hey, thank you for the song. It's very nice of you. Thank you so much. And I'm very happy once again to be part of your radio show, and it's such an honor. Well, thank you so much. Are you, Christine, have anything to say?
Yes, thank you. And we will be in touch. I'm sure we'll see you down at the coffee shop or something.
Yeah, let us know when you're coming to town. We'll meet you.
Right. And, you know, we appreciate y'all. Have a good night now, and God bless now, and stay strong.
You too. Thank you very much.
Before we go out, we just want to remind everybody that please join us next Wednesday night as well. We have another great guest. This lady, Susan Jones, she was nearly beaten to death by her husband, who is behind bars as we speak, but she's having to fight this case. She's going to come on and share her story, and you can see the pictures on the promotional information. She was beaten pretty bad. And so she's going to share her story, and now she's standing up for women and for victims of domestic violence. So please show your support, call in or you know, get in the chat room and let us know, you know, what your thoughts are. And we'd also just like to thank everybody that does listen live online, and for all those that are in the chat room, and just for all those listening worldwide. We appreciate your support, and we thank you. And one other reminder, we have Arizona Golden Gloves coming up March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and that's at the Arizona Event Center, 1300 South Country Club in Mesa, Arizona. So come out, watch some of Arizona's best boxers, and find out who will be going to regional Golden Gloves. Boyd, do you have any other last words or comments?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I want to just let everybody know that the wait is definitely over. Everybody had been asking us when we was going to, you know, get some ladies' clothes and launch different things. So without further ado, we have toddler clothes coming out, The Streets Don't Love You Back, toddler's line. And we're going to have that in 2T all the way to 6T. And we have young youth's shirts coming out, medium and small. And we also have the Lady Line's coming out, and that's going to be out by March 1st, you know. So the wait is over with. You'll be able to log on to our store online at www.thestreetsonloveyouback.com, and you will be able to get all the things that you need from our store, from hats, sweatsuits, short sets, thermals, short sleeve, long sleeve, hats, beanie, golf cap, the whole nine yards, and hoodies. So go check us out and see what we got at the store, and just keep up the great work. And we thank all our members who support us around the world, and we thank all our members that's in prison. And we send our newsletter out every month to 150 prisons across the country, men and women. And we would like to just thank them for educating behind the walls. And I'd like to give a shout-out to my three brothers that's doing life in prison. They never coming home, but they run the movement in three different prisons in Michigan. So I want to give a big up to all three of my brothers. And just much love to everybody, man. You know, so many people support us, and I can't say everybody's name, but you know who you are. Peace and love.
All right. And with that, we are going to go out with one more song from Ty Jill. So sit back, relax, and get ready to wind down for the night. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. Good night.
How are you in the house?